you want to see me, you will not do this. You will make an appointment.
Dr. Green, how can you diagnose someone as an obsessive compulsive disorder and then act as though I had some choice about barging in?
I can help you if you take responsibility to keep regular
appointments. You changed the room around.
2 years ago.
Do you know how hard it was for me to come here?
Yes.
I changed just one pattern, as you always said I should.
And that's from the movie As Good As It Gets. And are you living with someone who has OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, or do you have it? And you know how difficult that is. If you're living with somebody, it can drive you up a wall. If you yourself have it, if your mind, an obsession? If your mind latches on to some thoughts or images and you don't want those in your head and you don't know how to get rid of them, and you try to stop the thoughts or ignore them or neutralize them, and they seem to grow larger, and then you might develop some compulsions. Maybe you're checking the door to make sure it's locked to try to neutralize whatever you think is going on, and there are no causal connections to anything. You just feel very anxious, and you feel this compulsion to have to do something. I remember hearing one story once of somebody who had to put all of their soup cans or cans in their kitchen in alphabetical order before they felt at ease. They had to reduce their own psychological tension. Now, that does nothing in your life. It's off base. You need to deal with the real problems you're facing. And OCD just kind of makes your problems, gives you a whole new batch of problems that don't solve anything and make your life a lot more complicated. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner, and my show is The Rational Basis of Happiness. I'm a clinical psychologist here to take your calls and questions on anything that's troubling you. And right now, I want to invite Catherine to the phone. Catherine, you're dealing with some coworkers who are lying?
Yes. I don't know how else to say that. We deal with bullying in schools and such, and it happens with adults in the workplace, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there are cliques. Little kids grow up, don't they? But they don't grow up, they don't mature.
They sure do. And yeah. The problem with it is these gals are friends with the boss.
Okay.
And they've been seen out at the local watering hole, if you will, and so we know that they're friends, and they go and make these outrageous allegations that are clearly lies. It's cost people their jobs.
Okay.
And
yeah.
And it's very, very concerning that they just keep getting away with it over and over again. And now I have a friend of mine going through the same exact thing.
So your friend works with you, and she's being targeted by them now?
I actually got documented right out of my job.
So you're not working there either?
No.
Oh, so...
And it's damaged my professional reputation. I'm having difficulty getting a job. And I've heard that it's from other people, that other people have now left because of similar stuff. And now a friend of mine has been working there. The same thing is happening, these outrageous lies, and it just goes on, and it's really concerning.
Okay, so what are you thinking of doing?
It's probably too late for me. I'm already gone.
Right.
But it's damaging is what's so concerning to me, and that it's being allowed to continue. And obviously, the employer is a great big facility.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask. Does the boss have a boss? Is there somebody higher up in management that you could talk with who doesn't go to the same watering hole with these bullies?
I don't know if that's safe.
If that's safe for your friend, you mean?
Right.
Okay, I once worked with a woman who was a bully. I worked at a research lab for infants, by the way. And the woman I didn't work on her side of the lab, but I was in the same room with her, in the same facility. And I for 3 years, just had to put up with her every day because I was too young. I didn't know how to fight the battle. I didn't know what to say. And she didn't, I wasn't in her target because I didn't work under her. But whoever came to work under her, she would criticize relentlessly. She would complain. She would roll her eyes, all of those contemptuous body language, those behaviors that you see. And the women that worked with her, they were students at Brown University. They were lovely individuals. There was nothing wrong with them. But she would ruin their chances for happiness. You know, she would try to put a black mark on their record, probably because she was envious. You know, she didn't go to school. I don't know what her problem was. She didn't go to Brown. So when I left, I told my boss about what I had observed, and he said, "Oh, I wish you had told me earlier. We always suspected there were problems." And I'm sharing that with you because sometimes it just eases your mind. Now, you wouldn't want to do this without your friend's say-so, and you may not want to do it relating to that particular friend, Catherine. Mm-hmm. But you may want to figure out a way to document a pattern with people who are already gone, or maybe without naming names. You know, I'm just thinking, it sounds like the boss, it would be a dead end to go to the boss if he's in cahoots.
And the boss's boss.
Oh, is there a boss's boss's boss? Somebody higher up that you could
probably would be the CEO.
Okay, well, sometimes they're not all in alignment, you know. Sometimes the CEO may be a little clueless about what's going on a little lower down in one department. And it might be worth at least composing the letter, and you could sit on it for a while. It could be, I'm not sure. This is my experience. Now, you can't say that they are bullies. You can just say what your experience is. For example, I could say, I would come into the office in the morning and I would notice that she was sitting at my desk. And when I asked if she could get up because I needed to make phone calls, she would say no. And she would roll her eyes. You know, I'm painting a picture. I'm as if I'm sharing a video with you of some of the incidents. Mm-hmm. And then you would say, boy, that must have been tough, Ellen. She sounds like a real bully or a real, you know, hard nut to crack. And she didn't smile and she didn't laugh. And she said some things behind a coworker's back. You could pick a few careful examples that illustrate the pattern without betraying the better people. And this is if you wanted to. Again, you're the one that's going to judge the risk. If you wanted some clarity or some justice for yourself, I felt really good. Oh, go ahead.
Thank you so much for asking. I'm not sure that I can get any justice. I think there'll be a natural justice, if you know what I mean. I think what goes around comes around.
Well, let me tell you there already is justice. You know why?
Why?
Would you like to live with any of those bullies?
Oh, heck no.
They have to live with themselves.
Well, when I was going through that, it was horrific.
Yeah.
And have somebody say a lie about you.
It's awful.
Affected me, even to this day, affects me.
Okay, that you can work on. You definitely want to be able to dismiss it as nonsense. Sometimes if someone comes in and they say, you know, this person called me cold-hearted, or what's one of the labels they called you that affects you?
Oh, one of the gals said that I said, I have a gun, I know how to use it, and I know where you live. In absolutely no context would I ever, ever say that to anyone.
Yeah.
Nor would it be, in what context
okay,
would
that
I
has,
have ever said that in the workplace?
That has nothing to do with you. That is awful. And that you could even, if you ever heard, I mean, it's a little late now and it's hard to establish. I mean, it would be a hearsay thing. I'm saying you could turn her into the police because that sounds like a threat. But I think for yourself...
She said that I said that.
Right, I understand that. And if somebody said that about me, I would want to get to the point of saying, I am glad she is out of my life. That is not my character. And what she knows that she lied. And I don't. I can live with myself. She can't live with herself. Listen, if you want to hold on, I'll touch base with you a little bit during the break. And I want to tell you that even though I didn't get the justice directly in terms of that coworker when I spoke up, I got the justice indirectly by at least giving myself permission to sleep up. I'm Dr. Speak up. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner on the Rational Basis of Happiness. Toll free 1-877 Dr. Kenner.
Here's an excerpt from The Selfish Path to Romance, the Serious Romance Guidebook by clinical psychologist Dr. Ellen Kenner.
To sustain a positive emotional climate, both partners need to have an attitude that encourages personal growth. When couples don't grow together, they often grow apart and end up unhappily married or divorced. Couples are in danger if there are significant differences in the way they grow their lives. For example, one may grow in intellectual ability, character, or self-esteem, and the other may not. If one is ambitious, expanding his or her life and making it interesting, while the other stagnates or grows at a much slower rate, the discrepancy often leads to the breaking of the loving bond, leaving the couple mismatched even if they initially were well matched. Partners need to grow together intellectually and emotionally for a relationship to thrive.
You can download Chapter 1 for free by going to drkenner.com, and you can buy the book at amazon.com.